Welcome to the How Legends Are Made radio show, the fastest growing coaching show on the web.
This is the podcast that teaches you how to achieve your dreams and live a legendary life.
Today is the day you make your dreams happen. Booyah!
Are you tired of watching other people achieve the success that you want?
When you believe in you as much as you want others to believe in you, success is going to find you. Come on, you legendary maniacs! There's room for you at the top of the mountain. Stake your claim to a legendary life. Booyah!
And now the voice of How Legends Are Made Radio. The man who believes everyone is destined to live a legendary life. Dan Blackburn.
Booyah! Booyah!
Totally pumped to be chatting with a gentleman, a young man who, by all accounts, grew up in a part of Toronto, Canada. It's called Scarborough, where hockey wasn't a popular choice as a sport, either in his family or in his community. And yet he had a passion, he had a drive, he had a love for this game, and he stuck with it. As a result, he played at the highest level possible throughout his minor hockey career, and that has since gone on and has continued to further his career and continued to chase down his dreams. And the How Legends Are Made tag of this show is very apropos for this young man, because he's continued to do what it takes, however it takes, to live an amazingly legendary life. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Corey Evelyn to the show. Corey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Corey, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Well, thanks for coming to the show. And I'm always struck by the drive and the determination of someone who really didn't have a blueprint. You know, you didn't really have a path, a plan, or someone to follow when you were a young kid growing up. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what it was like for you when you had this spark or this interest to play hockey, and then really no mentors around to guide you, and yet you still went to the rink and you figured a way to show up every practice and every game.
It all started from when I was younger. I was 3 years old. I seen it on TV pretty much, and I was able to, I guess, bug my parents about it in the way I know how to communicate with them at the time. I was able to bug them about it, and finally decided to put me in when I was 4 years old, and then just the excitement I felt going to the rink. Even though I was learning how to skate, I wasn't playing full on hockey games, but just the excitement, just the everything about hockey, like smell of the rink, the early mornings, just everything about hockey, just still to this day intrigues me. And I just every day I just love going to the rink. Like I just want to make it my life. Much.
Wow, that's amazing. So you grew up in Scarborough, and for the listeners who don't know, Scarborough is the east side of Toronto, and it's evolving into a demographic that may not, you know, support or be a part of hockey. What was it like for you, you know, growing up and going to school and being around other friends that maybe were involved in other sports or weren't involved in hockey at the level you were? Was, did you get a lot of pushback and a lot of people saying, hey, you know, you should give that up and you should come on over here and hang with us because this is what we're doing?
Yeah, there was for sure a lot of pushback, but at the end of the day, I knew what I loved and I knew what I wanted to do. So I kind of had to separate myself from going where the group went. So I'd go to school, hang out with my friends when I had time, and then when it came down to get to hockey, get to business, I separated myself and I did what me and my family did, what we thought was best.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, I know I hear so much now about bullying and talk about the distractions and the challenges that kids face. And oftentimes when I host this show, I have on entrepreneurs and successful business owners, and now they talk about what their experience was like. And here's you. I mean, you're born in 1992, so you know you've come through a time where it's more current day, apropos language around bullying and challenges. So if you had people, you know, distracting you and wanting to pull you away from the game of hockey because it wasn't popular for your group, as you described it, Who was there for you? Like, who were your mentors and your leaders and the people who really stood in your corner and knew that they were there to support you?
Honestly, when you ask me that question, just my family comes to mind. My mom, my dad, my sister, my cousins, just family, that my grandma, family that just, you know, gave me a good foundation and stood behind me and told me, whatever you want to do, you can do it. You just got to put your mind to it. Like, I know that's so cliche to say, but it really is the truth. And, like, if you have a strong foundation, strong family, I believe that you can accomplish anything in this world.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I know there's times where, for some of us, for some people, that's not always possible. So when you think back now to that circle of influence, you know, the family you just described, give some examples of sacrifices and commitments that your parents and family made so you could pursue your dream and play at the highest level possible.
Sacrifice, commitments, that's a big word I like to use also too. I would say, like, even with my dad and my mom at the time was working one job originally, but then when the hockey costs got expensive with equipment, sticks and all that stuff, my mom did sacrifice and did get another job, and she did work that job throughout me growing up through the hockey ranks, getting 4 hours of sleep a night, getting up, going to the airport, then driving down to her other job at the LCBO. Was really that to me is a real big sacrifice. And also with my dad, when I was younger and till this day, driving me to rink 7 a.m., having to leave work early. Maybe he had a long day at work, but then also having to drive me in traffic to my games that were out in Mississauga, sacrificing time, taking me to tournaments, probably not being able to do majority of the stuff he would like to do with his friends, and, you know, all the other stuff that adults like to do from time to time to just relax and blow off some steam type of thing. But, like, and my sister, she sacrificed me having a lot of the attention put on me, having a lot of money put in towards, I guess you would say, my future. So I would say my mom, my dad, my sister took a big sacrifice, and until this day, I thank them.
Well, that's incredible, and I think that, you know, I often talk about building a team, or I call it an army, around to support people in reaching their dreams, and really what you've just described really summarizes that. I mean, sounds like your mom, your dad, your sister, and maybe your sister by default, but it sounds like everybody was fully invested into Corey and fully invested into helping you chase down your dream. So was there a time, you know, or were there times where you'd be heading to the rink or you'd be at the rink and you would consciously recognize, like, wow, like, my mom and my dad and my sister are making all of these sacrifices for me? And if you did, how did that impact your play and your commitment to the game and to your opportunity and growth personally?
I would say I didn't, like, as at that age, maybe I might have taken it for granted. Maybe I didn't think about it because I wasn't mature. My game wasn't matured as it is now. I wasn't matured as a person like I am now. But I think now, more and more now, I'm starting to realize that I'm very thankful for what they're doing. And then the way I put it in towards my game is that I like to play every game like it's my last. So I'm not only doing this for me, but I'm doing this for my family also, because they sacrificed a whole bunch. So in return, I'm trying to give this back and maybe make this a professional career out of this, where I can be able to support my family. As much as they supported me over the years, I want to give back and be able to support my family. So my mom doesn't have to worry about working two jobs. So my dad doesn't even have to worry about working one job. So my sister can be well off.
Wow, that's great. That's powerful. Well, you know, from what I know of you and I know your work ethic, I know that you'll certainly reach whatever dream is that you've put in front of you. You'll track it down the same way you always had. So let's shift the focus a bit. And so let's go back along your timeline. So you're a young boy, you're playing hockey. It's not a popular sport in Scarborough. And yet you want to pursue it. You're fired up. So mom, dad, sister, they all sort of get on the quote unquote Corey bus, and they do whatever they have to do to start paving this way. You play at the highest level. So for the listener, here in Ontario, we have what we call single A, double A, and triple A, triple A being the highest level. So, you know, you played at triple A most of, if not all of your minor hockey career. So you were a very, very talented player. And you get to the point, you know, you're 14, 15, 16, and you must have had some challenges, some trials and tribulations, some rejections that things that some kids might say, I'm done with this game. I want to pack it in. And yet you stuck with it. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about maybe one or two of those situations that, you know, were maybe in yet time and yet how you got through them, stayed with it and continued to chase down your dream.
Yeah, I would say like when I look back, I'll go back to, let's say, my minor midget year. Like the thing that was with me in my game is that I had a lot of raw talent, but I didn't have that extra poof to put up 30, 40 goals a season. I was not able to get that one-on-one with certain people to work on my game as much as kids at my age were doing. So I always had that raw talent ability, but then it came down to where I wasn't doing the flashy, let's say, highlight real things that other kids were doing that were on my team at the time. So I guess my game kind of got put on the back burner, and to me, I felt like I wasn't, I guess, a value to the team because I wasn't doing what other kids were doing. So my playing time got cut down, and it just felt like I got the short end of the stick at that time, which I don't blame that for happening because now that I look back now, I'm glad it happened. So now I know what I need to do to evolve my game, pretty much.
Yeah, fantastic. So you have where you talk about minor majors. So you were 15, 16 years old. Is that right?
Yes.
So you have these moments. You're 15, 16. You're the listener who maybe isn't attuned to the hockey. That's a pretty important time in Ontario because this is when players are moving on and moving to the next level, which is kind of getting in the hierarchy of playing professional hockey and namely into the NHL. So things don't go your way. Was there ever a time where you thought, you know what, I'm just going to pack this in and move on with my life?
There actually was a time, I think during that minor midget year, I was unfortunately not, I felt in the best interest was for me to not stay with the team. So there was a time where I did have a month in between figuring out what I was going to do with hockey, figuring out what I was going to do with actually, because you're at that time, 15, 16, where like it's either you just continue school, end up going to university and doing the natural traditional route, or you continue with hockey and you see where it takes you. So that I did go through a month where I did contemplate, you know, maybe it's that time to just get on with my life. But to be honest, that was probably the miserablest month of my life because I wasn't at the rink. I wasn't around the guys. I wasn't doing what I loved. And right there and then told me that I want to play this game as long as I can, as long as my body allows me to can, as long as my mind, my focus, and just my drive for the game allows me to.
So you said before that, you know, in retrospect, you look back at that time and you recognize why it happened and you have a level of gratitude for it happening because it was, you know, it was sort of this wake-up call. And I guess that's what I hear you say now is that you got this jolt of what it was like to not have the sport. And it's not that you weren't good enough to play at that level. It was just that team that you were on, it didn't work out, which, you know, we all have those times or moments in our lives where that happens, and I'm sure that'll happen to you again in the future. So it was almost like a recharging and a recommitment to the game because you were away for it for a period of time.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Just that quick month was a good recharge, and like you said, it was a good jolt, and I'm so thankful for it now because every day I wake up and I feel blessed I'm able to play the game I love.
Well, that's fantastic. So you leave that situation, you take this month hiatus, you realize that more than ever, hockey is in your blood, it's who you are, and you reclaim that fire, you play junior hockey, and you have a successful year, and then you move on and you start playing pro hockey? And then where does that, you know, where does that sort of, where are you now and where has that path taken you? And then what comes next for Corey?
Well, right now I'm in the process of, I got drafted to a team in the Federal Hockey League. So I'm in the process of trying to make that team, trying to get my foot into professional hockey, trying to just start making this like an actual job, like guys feed their families off this type of thing. So right now I'm just putting my foot into the hockey and the path I just want to go on. I just want to keep improving every year. If I'm able to move up the rankings and eventually do what every kid wants to do, step on NHL ice surface and even play 20 seconds. So it's just...
Wow, that's incredible.
It's just a dream I want to make a reality.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, I believe that people who reach their dreams, it's not because they didn't go through pain and difficult times. It's because they were willing to go through the pain and difficult times. And it sounds to me that that's what your commitment is, that, you know, you get it. It's not always going to be an easy road. And whether it's conventional or non-conventional route, you have your proverbial foot pedal to the metal, and you're willing to do whatever it's going to take to make that dream a reality.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've zoned in these past couple of years, and I'm just, like I said, I'm trying to get back to my family. That's my biggest drive. That's my that's what keeps this fire lit, and just a love for the game also. So I feel like it's for me to go get it, so I'm just going to do whatever it takes to get what I want out of this.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I love the context of your story, and I really enjoy connecting with and interviewing, you know, people like yourself who have the clarity, this drive. And I think that whether you're an athlete, whether you're in the business world, whether you're a parent, whether you're looking to earn more money or change your relationship, it all comes down to clarity and focus. And it sounds like you're 100% clear and super focused to getting what it is that you say you want.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like I said, I'm going to go back to that month, Joel. It cleared things up for me a lot, and the focus, I'm just trying to, like I said, I've seen people around me get what they want. I see the sacrifices they made, so I'm just trying to learn. I'm trying to be a sponge. I'm trying to be a sponge in everyday life and just learn and throw it into hockey's perspective and try to live my life through that way.
Well, I love that term, being a sponge. If we could all be sponges, you know, I say that to be successful, you know, your responsibility is to bring the passion and then to go find the leadership and the knowledge and the resources to help bring your passion to life. And so, which it sounds to me like you're doing. And it's the one thing I want to, you know, bring up to the listener is, you know, as we wind down the interview, that, you know, off the air, I asked you, what is it that you're passionate about? You know, what is it about this game? And although you've shared, you know, valuable experiences and you've given us a glimpse of what Corey's life has been like and the commitments along the way that people and you have made, you said something to me, and you said that one of your goals through playing hockey is to pave the way for young Black kids. And that struck me, like that was, you know, I felt the shivers up my spine when you said that. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit more about what you mean by that?
I just pave the way, as in just create like someone with a role model. I'm trying to be a role model. I'm trying to be a role model to everyone, but specifically the young Black kids who would like to play hockey, who didn't have the opportunity to play hockey, who maybe parents can't afford it, who parents don't want them to, who want to stay out of the politic type. I'm just trying to pave a way for them that you know what, it is okay to play a sport that is not socially accepted. It is okay. It is okay to go out and play hockey and be a good hockey player. Like, for example, PK Subban. There's Devontae Smith-Pelly. There's countless people out there. But I just wanted to be a role model and to give back and just pave the way for them to say, you know what, we can do this together.
Wow, I love that. Now, you, Corey, you shared at the start about the value of the community that you had. Your community was mom, dad, sister, and a few other family members, and they made massive, massive sacrifices to give you the opportunity. And it sounds to me, you know, you're doing the exact same thing, that you now are out there skating. Your every game is your last game. You're thinking about your parents. And at the same time, you know, you have this conscious appreciation that, you know, there are other black kids out there that were like you who are stepping back and saying, well, who do I follow? Like, who's the role model that I can follow, that I can use as my inspiration to get my parents to realize to take me seriously, or to have a coach take me seriously, or even to have yourself take yourself seriously. I mean, that's really your paying it forward, and in some ways paying it back to your community. I mean, that's a powerful legacy. Is that something that you've had in your mind for some time, or is that something that's just, you know, come to light to you more recently?
To be honest, I think it's just come to light to me more recently because, like I said earlier, it's just like when you grow up, you mature as a person, and like when you're a sponge, you see every perspective, every aspect of life, I feel. So when you mature as a person, you start realizing the little things in life that people might pass over. So, and like the little things matter to, like I said, to kids. You want to be role models. Just, if you start picking up more of the little things in life, then the picture gets painted a lot faster in my eyes.
Wow. That's incredible. For a young man, you have a very powerful perspective on yourself, the value of the people that have helped you, and then the steps in going forward. Because I believe that, number one, no one can achieve anything alone. It takes a village to raise a boy, and at the same time, it's about giving back. It's like paying forward within your community, within your environment, to create the change or inspire others to follow in your footsteps, and you're doing that. And oftentimes, you know, I'll speak with entrepreneurs and successful business owners who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, who are just beginning to appreciate that aspect, and here you are. And you already have that down pat. So, you know, I know whatever team, whatever coach, whatever environment you're in, that you'll be an asset, and you'll certainly be, you know, be an integral part of that team. And at the same time, while you're doing that, just by osmosis, you're giving back to your community back home in Scarborough and in Toronto and anywhere else. In fact, that there's someone of minority who just doesn't know what the first or what the next step is to start following their dreams. So thanks for being an incredible inspiration.
Thanks a lot. Well, thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to come speak. It's been a real honor.
Yeah, you're welcome. So where can the listeners find you and track you down, whether it be on social media or somewhere where they can follow your steps and get connected to you? And hey, who knows? Maybe even reach out to you and ask if they can support you or somehow you have something to offer for them.
Well, I'm pretty sure everyone has a Facebook now. So if they want to get me on Facebook, it's Corey Evelyn, and it's not hard to find me. I have a lot of hockey pictures up. And also, if they would like, I wouldn't mind if people need inspiration. Like, they can also email me at cevelyn92@hotmail.com, and I'm not gonna turn anyone away. I'm open to everyone. I just want to meet new people and help new people out.
Hey, wow, Corey, man, that's fantastic. I really appreciate it. That, to me, that shows the commitment you have, because there are more people who are unwilling to give up their email than there are to share it on the air. So thank you for doing that. To all the listeners, I will post Corey's Facebook page and also his email on the show notes accompanying with this broadcast. So if you miss that or you're unsure of the spelling, I'll make sure I get that into your hands. And hey, Corey, I just want to say one last huge thank you for coming on the show. And you're inspiring to listen to. And I know some of your story before we spoke. I learned a whole lot more. So the joy and the pleasure I had in having you on the show has grown tenfold. And I wish you the absolute best of luck in the 2014-2015 season and beyond. And I know that wherever you happen to lay, whatever stall you end up sitting in this year, that you'll make your dreams come true, and you'll make everybody around you be better athletes and better people. And I want to thank everybody for tuning into the How Legends Are Made radio show. It's always my pleasure to bring people to you who are living legendary lives. And today, Corey Evelyn is no different. And as I say goodbye, my final words to always remember to dream, plan, and execute yourself to an amazingly legendary life. Booyah!
Thank you for listening to How Legends Are Made with Dan Blackburn. Do you want to hear more from Dan? Go to howlegendsaremade.ca and subscribe to the How Legends Are Made iTunes channel. And remember to leave a comment so Dan knows you're listening.